Joining us now is Alpana Singh. She doesn't need an introduction. I'm sure you know her, of course, as the host of Check Please, the beloved television show where you can get all of those great restaurant recommendations. She's also a master sommelier, which means that she is a wine expert beyond just a wine expert. I mean, she is just in the upper echelons of wine knowledge. And she's also the owner of Terra and Vine, which is in Evanston. Hi, Alpana. How are you?
Hey, G. So good to hear your voice.
So good to hear your voice. I want to check in and see how's the restaurant biz going?
As long as the weather cooperates, it's fine because, you know, everybody wants to kind of sit outside, and we have this beautiful patio out in Evanston, so we can do, you know, a good socially distant number outside. But for the most part, our customers are like, yeah, we don't want to sit inside right now. And I think part of it is because, you know, we've been cooped up for, you know, 2.5-3 months in quarantine, and also because, you know, they're just a little concerned about, you know, not ready to go inside yet. I said, so we've got until about November to figure it out when the temperature drops. So, but that's tomorrow's problem. That's not today's problem.
Today you're open, which is a very good thing. Yeah. And if, you know, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, there is that whole cooped up thing, and it's nice. You know, we always have to take advantage of good Chicagoland weather when we can. But you know, a lot of diners still feeling a little hesitant about maybe sitting inside, even with all of the distance precautions, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, at least that's what I'm getting with my customers, you know, because, you know, I'm standing in front and, you know, so I'm always, you know, asking, like, you know, you still want to sit inside, outside? You're like, oh, no, we're not ready yet. So, you know, it's interesting to get kind of the pulse on what's happening. I mean, even though there is that allure of air conditioning, it's still not enough.
Yeah. In terms of sort of being able to weather the storm, I know that, I mean, you have so many restaurant and industry connections. What have you been hearing? Are people sort of getting back up and running right now? I mean, what's the atmosphere like?
So, you know, I think people are just cautiously optimistic. You know, we did a campaign last week with the Illinois Restaurant Association, you know, covered faces, keep open places. And I think what's frustrating for a lot of operators is that we are at the mercy of the behavior of other people. And right now, you know, Illinois has done a lot of the work already. You know, we took a lot of the sacrifices, and we're, you know, cautiously, slowly opening up. And the thing that we don't want is to slide back into phase three, and then I got to shut down again. You know, so that's what I want to express to people. When you go into a situation and you're not wearing a mask, you know, or I'm not enforcing my customers to wear a mask, that only affects my staff and jeopardizes the health of my other guests, but it also jeopardizes the welfare of fellow restaurateurs. You know, because as soon as we see an uptick in those numbers, the governor, I don't feel, is going to hesitate to shut us back down.
So we are literally in this together.
No, we really are. And so that's what I want to say. I mean, I hate wearing a mask, but I do it because I care about my neighbors. I care about myself. I care about my employees. You know, especially tonight. I mean, yeah, it sucks.
I don't think anyone out there really enjoys wearing a mask.
No, and especially
as it gets warmer, you know. Have you heard of this thing, Alpana? It's called maskne. It's like acne
because of your
mask.
Yeah, I'm a rapid fan, yeah. And I also like the, don't wear it like Captain Ahab. Don't get the Ahab beard. You know, it's supposed to like go on your face and not under your chin. But.
Exactly. Or like under the nose either. So, yeah.
But I get it. Yeah.
Have you had any, in terms of, we talk about your customers, but in terms of employees and folks on your team, have you had any people hesitating about coming back to work? And sort of how have you handled that situation?
We had one young lady who did not return because she has an immunocompromised mother. And so we said, yeah, absolutely. You know, your health is everything, you know, and so I would never fault anybody for wanting to take care of their health. And, you know, luckily we do have, you know, systems in place, at least right now, with the extra $600 in unemployment, with the COVID money. I don't know what's going to happen when that runs out, you know, so I'm hopeful that the, you know, the powers that be do consider that, because there are a lot of people who are very concerned about having to go back to work. And I just think you shouldn't have to choose between paying your bills and then also choosing between your health. I mean, it's a a very unfortunate situation that a lot of people are facing, you know, essential workers of like, I got to go to work, you know?
Well, of course, you have the sort of one-on-one work you do in the restaurant when you're greeting customers, but you have an incredible rapport with a lot of, you know, restaurant lovers and foodies out there that have watched you on Check Please. And how many seasons have you been the host on Check Please?
Let's see. The first go around was 10, and so now I've got another 2, so that's 12. Yeah.
So you
Baker's dozen.
So you're very accustomed to dealing with customers and sort of their feedback on how they felt dining at a restaurant. And what are some of the sort of nuggets of wisdom that you hope to impart to everybody that is dining out right now?
I would say that, you know, just be patient with restaurants. You know, a lot of restaurants are running more limited menus. You know, just because we don't, you know, we have to stay very nimble and flexible. For the most part, everyone's just been super nice. They've been tipping our staff extra, you know, so everyone's just been really kind of terrific. You know, and you know, like, I think sometimes too much of the attention goes to the Karens of the world, and we think the entire world is operating like that. But for the most part, everyone's been just super nice. And you know, I that's just the thing. Like, I would say take care of the staff, you know, tip generously, you know, because they are, you know, risking their health to come to work. And, you know, I mean, we all are to a certain degree, but nonetheless, if you can, and if you're in a position to, you know, throw maybe 10% extra or a few percent extra, you know, then I would say please do it.
Well, something else I wanted to ask you about was there's an article in which you were quoted for Vine Pair, and you can read it on vinepair.com, and it's entitled A Reckoning on Race at the Court of Master Sommeliers America. Can you tell us a little bit about the article and sort of what your part in the quotes were about?
So, you know, in the middle of all this craziness, of course, you know, everything, 2020 is the year that keeps on giving. No, but we had three very high profile members that resigned from the court in the last month. And it was because of the molasses-like response that the court took in making a statement about Black Lives Matter and, you know, their commitment and action plan to diversity. And, you know, behind the scenes, they wanted to make sure that they presented a statement, you know, with some action. And sometimes that takes time. Well, some of us, you know, thought that it took a little bit too much time, you know, that what's so hard about making a commitment to civil rights and equality and a commitment to diversity? It shouldn't be that difficult. And then it also came out, you know, this this wonderful woman, Tahira, she has an organization called Hughes Society. You know, she had an experience at the court almost a decade ago where she took an exam, and the protocol back then was to address the master sommeliers as master. And it's something that I've always been against, and whenever I proctored the exam, I'm like, yeah, we're not doing that. I mean, I shouldn't have to explain to you the historical weight of having to call somebody master, particularly if you're a Black sommelier. You know, and so she called them out on it, and it just created this, like, tidal wave effect. And we had already, a group of my colleagues and I, four of us, had already come up with a petition to take some actionable, you know, actions, you know, to create some change and to actually do something that moves the needle more towards diversity. And, you know, at first we were kind of met with some hesitation, like, you know, we're not a racist organization. I said, no, nobody's saying that we're racist, but, you know, we could be more anti-racist, you know, and we can do things that make us be more inclusive and more welcoming, because the image of the court is that, you know, that we are exclusionary.
Right. And it seems like an exclusive club, very difficult to get into, right?
Very difficult. You know, it's interesting. I read a statistic today that the court released that on average, it takes 16 years to become a master sommelier.
Wow.
You know, 16 years. You know, so some, if we're asking somebody to give 16 years of their life, you know, we got to give them a little bit more than, yeah, you're going to get a fair shake, but that's about all we can give you. We're going to have to give them more than that. We're going to have to give them access and opportunity. We're going to have to give them better mentorship. And so we did form a diversity committee. So hopefully, you know, we can just move towards the future, because I do believe, you know, having run a restaurant, you know, most wine directors got their job because they were promoted as servers, because restaurants just don't have the budget to hire a wine manager. You know, so they take a server who's shown initiative, pay them a little extra, and they're like, hey, maybe you can order the wine. And that's usually how it starts. And so I believe that the sommeliers of tomorrow are going to be these BIPOC professionals, not to mention Gen Z, as I said in the article. Boy, You either get with the program or you're not with the program right. with this generation.
Our hope is with the Gen Zers, right?
Yeah, they are. They're a group to be reckoned with.
Well, thank you, Alpana, so much for being with us this evening. Really appreciate
My pleasure.
And when does when do you guys pick back up for shooting and everything?
You know, we don't know just because right now it's been a little challenging of like, how do we send people to restaurants right now? Mm-hmm. Some are open, some are closed. And so we are trying to negotiate that right now and we'll see. So, and I'm sure that Channel 11 will probably be releasing something soon. So, but yeah, it's kind of everything is just, you know, we don't.
Well, thanks so much for being with us. I hope that, hope everyone checks out your website. It's alpanasing.com and you have recipes on there and also recommendations for wine that are very, very affordable. So thanks so much.
Thank you. That's always good to talk to you, G.
Absolutely. I hope so too. Yes, a toast. I hope soon we can toast one another in person. Thanks, Alpana.